governors, you're very welcome to our podcast for June. We've just come back from half term and I'd love to tell you that the sunny weather has continued, but I think in honour of everybody going back to school, it's gone a little bit overcast here in Durham today. Thank you for your feedback from our previous podcast, much appreciated. And our topic today is early years and what governors need to know about the early years. So secondary governors, I'm so sorry, but this one's not for you, but I think you still might find it very interesting because early years is where it all starts. It's where those pupils who are going to come to you when they're 11 or if you're a sixth form governor when they're 16, it's where the journey and where the excitement begins. And I'm delighted today to be joined by one of our specialist colleagues. I'm going to ask her to introduce herself in just a moment's time. But as always, if you have questions about anything we talk about today, just drop us an email and we'll get back to you. And you might just want to keep a pencil by you today, because if you're new to governance in a school with early years, there might be some words and phrases that you are not familiar with. So over to my today's special guest. Today's special guest sounds much grander than it is, because we haven't got a studio. We're coming live from our kitchens, aren't we, today? Kate, can you introduce yourself to our governors?
Hi, everybody. Yes, I'm Kate Dingles. I am one of the specialist advisors for Education Durham with specialism in early years. In a previous life, I've been an early years leader in various schools and an assistant and the deputy head as well. So I've got a kind of a range of experience in different places in terms of EYFS. I'm a school governor too, so I do understand the role you're trying to fulfil and all the things that you're trying to juggle in your mind and terms you're trying to get used to.
Thanks, Kate. You're so very welcome today. And governors, lots of you, if you've been to training of around early years, you may have met Kate or heard Kate from a video recording earlier this year. And Kate's incredibly expert in this area, and we're really fortunate to have her, and we're delighted she's a governor as well. So that's double points, Kate, today, because we love that when we have a governor joining us on our governor podcast as well. Kate, I'm going to get an early advert in for your session that's coming up, because I think today, governors, we're going to try and cover quite a lot, but if you want more detail and more depth, Kate's actually running a session via the governor training service level agreement on the 17th of June at 5 o'clock. And you can there's still time to book onto that, because that's through Teams, and I know Kate will welcome as many governors as can attend that session. So if you want to get booked onto that, check with your chair of governors that that's okay, and just drop us a line at governortraining.durham.gov.uk and we can get you booked onto that. And Kate, let's just step back and look at the big picture for a moment, and let's bear in mind we've got some incredibly experienced specialist governors, maybe governors of nursery schools with us listening in today, but we also will have some new governors, because I mean actually this year, Kate, we've had I think we're heading towards about 300 brand new governors in Durham this year, so some of them may be on the call today. And let's just do some basics, shall we, first, Kate? Right, when we say early years, what are we talking about?
So the EYFS, technically, the early years foundation stage, is anything that covers children's education from birth to five. So you are looking at nursery and reception classes in primary schools. You're looking at two-year-old provision, nursery schools, but also all of our sort of private providers, you know, preschools and nurseries and childminders as well. They're part of the same EYFS framework.
Lovely. And so we might have governors from infant schools today, from primary schools, who, of course, may have a nursery, as well as obviously they're going to have reception. And also our governors who have, I said nursery schools, Kate, I've probably repeated myself.
No,
nursery, infant and primary schools today would have governors. Now, governors obviously have some statutory duties in relation to early years. And although governors are not required to have an early years link governor, many do. Especially big primary schools, but there is a statutory framework for all our work, isn't there, in early years, Kate? Mm-hmm. Just give us the kind of headlines about that.
Yeah, so there's one document which is the statutory framework for the EYFS, which is the document that everybody needs to have regard to. So wherever you're working in early years and as an early years link governor, if that's what you are, or even as a governor. In fact, it's useful to know that document, to know what's in that document. And there's kind of three main sections in there relating to the safeguarding and welfare requirements. So that covers all your things like your first aid training, your ratios, all of that type of stuff. And then you've got your learning and development, which covers your curriculum side of things and your assessment. So that document is kind of the core of everything that should be happening in early years in your school.
So that's, I guess, sort of like three big side headings really there, aren't they, Kate? And so really as governors, we would expect to be hearing those terms around welfare and safeguarding, learning and development, curriculum, as well as assessment being mentioned. And we probably hear about those maybe through the head teacher's report, or the early years lead may come and talk to us, I guess. Let's just pull out a couple more phrases which I guess governors might hear, and I certainly think at the moment are being sort of shared around various governor forums. And things like that. What about the phrase educational programme? What's that referring to?
So there are educational programmes in that statutory document that we've just talked about. And those are essentially their paragraphs which describe each area of learning. So you've got seven areas of learning within the EYFS, and the educational programmes describe the things that children must experience and learn about within each of those areas of learning. We're going to talk today a bit about the reforms to the EYFS, aren't we? And these educational programmes have been really strengthened through the reforms. There's much more focus on them, which is probably why we're hearing that term referred to quite a lot when we haven't done as much previously.
And so would governors think of that as being the curriculum in the early years?
It's kind of a curriculum. It's the bare bones of a curriculum, yes. I would say. It's kind of giving you that overview of this is what, for example, communication and language is. These are the sorts of things it includes. But then the school curriculum would obviously be what that school wants those children to learn in their EYFS in relation to those areas of learning.
And governors, you know, if you were on a road trip around the schools of County Durham with Kate and I, you would see that early years, wow, what a hugely varied set of experience we could have in just one day visiting four or five, say, reception classes, couldn't we, Kate?
Yeah, or
nursery. It would just be phenomenal because those skills of building that curriculum are just great, aren't they, with our early years leads and practitioners. So, all right, so that's our education programmes. I guess we're going to touch on those a little bit in a moment. Right, my next one that governors sometimes say to me then, okay, so what are early learning goals?
So our early learning goals are those, the statements which we want children to achieve by the end of reception. So at the end of reception, teachers make a judgment about each area of learning in relation to the early learning goals, and it's a broad statement really, assessed on a best fit type of model. So you look at the statement and you decide whether that child is in line with or not in line with that expectation. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you. And I think this is one of these things that the more you actually see it in action, so if you get the chance to actually talk to your early years lead and maybe even stand next to them whilst children are doing something, if you don't quite understand it, that could be really useful, can't it? Yes, although, you know, obviously we don't, as governors, we don't go and monitor classrooms, we don't go and observe lessons. I do think that getting an opportunity just to actually go and have a look at what's happening and get the feel within your school's early years classrooms, there's nothing quite like it, is the Kate?
I think that, you know, that brings the meaning to the role, doesn't it? Because actually you can hear it talked about as much as you want, but you need to see things to really understand what you're talking about, I think.
You do. And governors, I have to admit, I had one of my best days for 12 months a couple of weeks ago when I visited one of my schools with a nursery, and I was invited to join in the hunt for spiders in the outdoor area by somebody who was having their first day at nursery, and we went looking for spiders, and I'm delighted to say we didn't find any, because I'm not quite sure how I would have responded, but yes, but absolutely, and that was something just the children had decided to do and had put together their own investigation and wildlife hunting activity that they decided they were going to do that afternoon. So we've talked about early learning goals there. Let's just think about the last couple of kind of these sort of, I suppose, vocabulary there. What about the early years foundation stage profile? That's a mouthful, isn't it?
It is. So sometimes referred to as the EYFSP. The profile is is those early learning goals, essentially. It's that overall assessment of children at the end of reception, where the judgment is made for them in relation to each of the 7 areas of learning. So it's that statutory assessment. It's the only statutory assessment information that will be collected about children in the UFS, apart from the two, when they're 2, they have a 2-year-old check, it's sort of in line with health visitors checks. So that UFS profile is kind of your main assessment point.
And so I guess that statutory assessment information, that's something governors would expect to hear about, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
In terms of giving a sense of how things are. Yeah, lovely. And that tells you such a lot about the children as they start to get ready for school going forward. GLD, Kate.
So once that profile's completed, the GLD is a good level of development. So any child who achieves their early learning goals in the prime areas, which are the communication and language, personal, social and emotional development and physical development, as well as their literacy and maths, is considered as having a good level of development. And that's always measured for each child at the end of their time in reception, but also the sort of thing that you would usually see reported as a percentage. So you'd, you know, be saying, oh, well, we've got 70% GLD this year, and that's what that's referring to.
Fantastic. And a good level of development, it's not saying that there's some kind of something wrong with a child who hasn't reached a good level of development, is it? Neither is it saying that somebody is perfect if they have reached a good level of development. It's just an assessment, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's kind of it's saying that these children have kind of reached the national expectation and that they're ready to progress into Key Stage 1 and into Year 1. So I suppose, you know, for those children that haven't reached the good level of development, the question is what's being offered for them as they enter into Key Stage 1 to support them a little bit more.
Great. And I think we're going to, no doubt, Kate, knowing
we'll
you and I, we will come back to that because I know that we will talk about transition because we always do. Right. That was my big list. Oh, do you know what, Kate? I think I've forgotten one. And I guess it's because it's quite new. I think governors are probably going to start hearing about or rehearing about, because it's been and gone several times, this one, if you've been a governor a while, the reception baseline assessment.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. So the baseline, there'll always have been baseline assessments, and your schools probably talk about baseline. And what they're probably talking about at the moment is that teacher professional judgment, informal assessment of children when they start school. But from September, we've got a statutory baseline coming into place for all children in the first few weeks of reception class again. Actually I lied when I said the profile was the only statutory assessment, because we've now got a second statutory assessment in reception, which is the baseline. So this is, every school will do this in exactly the same way. It's a more formalised assessment to make a judgment about where children are when they start your school. The interesting thing with this assessment is that information from that assessment is kind of filed away or boxed away until those same children reach year 6, at which point they will be able to release that information again and make that progress judgment across the school. So teachers will actually still have to make their own judgments that will inform their planning and their practice for their classes, but this will be that statutory element of it.
Yeah, so that's quite interesting, isn't it? And I think that's probably the kind of thing we need to come back to in a bit more detail, because there's quite a lot in that. So we'll perhaps think about whether we maybe need to get a briefing note for governors into September.
Yeah.
I'm making myself a note as I speak, Kate, to make sure that we send out what in governor world we call it a blue paper that just outlines that a little bit more, because I think that would be useful.
It is quite a big one, I think, even for even for reception teachers who are going to be doing the assessment. I think it's a shift, isn't it, because they've always done their own thing with how they assess their children on entry, but now they're also going to have to do this more formalized, standardized assessment as well, and it will have an impact on how you kind of welcome children into the school. How are you going to manage that in terms of the staffing of it and everything? So, it's quite a big issue probably.
Yeah, and I think for governors, knowing that there's going to be some new data that's going to be the basis of comparison of progress of children across the key stages has also got quite big implications. So we'll need to pick that up when we talk to governors about data in the autumn term as well. Right, Kate, we've hinted at a couple of these things already, haven't we? But at the moment, in terms of governors having a think about early years and their statutory oversight of that area, what kind of things do you think should be in governors' sort of mind's eye at the moment?
I think the main thing for me, and it probably is in everybody's mind's eye anyway, and it's certainly for me on a personal level as a parent of a year one child and a child about to start reception, is about, you know, that return to school, the interruption that's happened over the last year and a half now, I suppose, in terms of COVID, and what those children have, you know, potentially missed at school, what they've been doing at home, how they've been settled back in. But not just for those children in school now, those children who are starting school as well, because actually what has their preschool experience been like? I think the whole impact of COVID will be very, very, very big for our youngest children in school. And we kind of can't, as we're hopefully, touch wood, coming out of the other side of this, she says optimistically, I think we can't forget about it for the next few years. You know, this is going to have an impact on the next few cohorts starting school and the experiences they might have had before they come to us.
I think that's such an important point, Kate, as well. And for me, it's the diversity of those experiences, isn't it? Because some children absolutely thrived with additional time at home. Yep. Sometimes, especially if there was some slightly older siblings or time with very interested teenage siblings as well, lots of people to talk to, lots of people to do new things with. Maybe there was more playing, maybe there was more baking, and maybe there were more people to read to them during the day than there might have been otherwise. But then some children have had other really different experiences, didn't they? And one of the things our little people didn't get to do was to just go out and about as they normally would have done last year, even if it was just, you know, going to the shop, walking to school to pick up big brother or sister. Mm-hmm. I think seeing grandmas and granddads, aunties and uncles, such a huge gap. Lots of things that were different for our children, as you say, currently in our early years groups, but also coming in September, but actually coming through for the next two years as well. Absolutely critical around that. So we're very interested, I think, as governors, as to what our teachers have noticed and what they're doing. What are they doing about, especially, I think, supporting children to have and more confidence and to have those engage with those experiences again and to talk. Yeah.
Interesting talking to teachers at the moment, reception teachers at the moment or nursery teachers at the moment about the children that have come back and the, you know, where they are and how they are compared to previous cohorts. There's been lots of talk about some schools have said communication and language is stronger. Some schools have said actually it's a real issue. Other schools have said that physical development has actually been a bit of an issue for children coming into school because they maybe haven't been, all those play experiences they might have had outside of school. But a lot of schools are talking about children's independence and children's resilience. And, you know, even those children that have had very supportive time at home, perhaps they've had almost too much support at home because there's someone there always to do everything for them. And then they go into school and they're suddenly one of 30 or one of 26 or whatever it is. And actually, it's not like that anymore. So I think, lots and lots of things to consider. But just, I suppose making sure that school have thought about that and as you say, what they're going to do to support those children moving forward.
And I suppose as governors, it's knowing that if there are resource implications of what the, for example, if reception needs some additional resourcing or some different equipment, as governors, we would have oversight, wouldn't we, of those, that kind of financial provision that the school might need. And I guess that might link into catch-up funding, spend decisions, making sure that, you know, the allocations are working hard, that we're making that resource work really, really effectively. Okay, so alongside that kind of the return of children and they're just incredibly bounced back, aren't they, children as well? I mean, we are seeing really rapid return to form for lots of our children. But we've also got, I think, a really big one, and it is, of course, the early years reforms, which are rapidly approaching, Kate, I think it's fair to say.
So statutory from September 2021, so from this September, the new documents will be in place. And they've been talked about for a while, so it feels like they've been coming for a while and finally they're here. Some schools have been early adopters, some primary schools, so it may be that governors listening, your school might have already been sort of trialling these documents and planning how they're going to use them, and some schools will be adopting them for the first time in September. So with that, you've got a new statutory framework. We talked about that statutory framework at the very beginning, and that has been rewritten. Lots of it stays the same, and I think it's important, you know, important to note that actually the key principles of the EYFS remain exactly the same, and what is good EYFS practice hasn't changed. So, you know, if you've got a school where EYFS is outstanding, it's still going to be outstanding now with the new documents. It's not going to suddenly change overnight. But there are changes to the content of some of those educational programmes and to those early learning goals as well. They've been completely rewritten.
Is there anything that you think is governance being really aware of? And are any of those changes particularly significant, do you think, Kate?
I think the main thing for governors and for schools and for staff in school as well will be assessment, because assessment has largely, in 99% of schools, been based on a document called Development Matters, which is non-statutory. And it's from that document that we get those age bands that children are currently assessed against. So you may have heard your early years lead talking about, you know, this many percent of children are working at 30 to 50 months, or this many are 40 to 60 months. And you've probably got quite used to that kind of language. Development Matters was always a non-statutory document, but that has been rewritten completely and looks very, very different now. And those age bands have gone. So within the new Development Matters, we've just got a band for birth to three, which is a huge band of development there, a band for 3 and 4 year olds in nursery, and a band for reception children. And teachers are really being encouraged not to do that kind of very regular tracking against age bands and breaking them down into emerging and developing and secure, because the workload that was creating was immense, as you can imagine, with, you know, 7 areas of learning all broken into different bands and stages. So that will be a change. And I think schools are still trying to think for them, you know, themselves about how they're going to tackle that and how they're going to measure, show progress as the year goes on. So I think the big thing for governors is that the data you get from EYFS in your school might start to look different to how it's looked for the last few years.
And the important thing there is, it's not that early years is being less effective. It's not that children aren't learning and growing and developing. It's that actually what we call the metric has changed, hasn't it? It's a different scale on the ruler.
We've really got to look at the positives of it and think, okay, so if teachers aren't measuring all these little minute steps of progress, which actually in some cases didn't tell us an awful lot anyway, actually they're spending more time with the children, they're talking to them more, there's a real focus on communication and language through this new framework, and children's vocabulary. So the less time teachers are assessing children, the more time they can be interacting with children. And that hopefully will be the real plus out of this this new document, as well as workload. You know, I think as governors we have a real responsibility, don't we, to think about staff workload. And hopefully this should have, once they've implemented everything, have a positive impact on workload. It probably doesn't feel like it at the moment, because, you know, people are still working through a pandemic and trying to get their heads around new documents. But once people have got their heads around them, I think it should give schools that little bit more freedom and a little bit more autonomy, and hopefully reduce their workload.
So actually, that would be a really good question for governors to ask, wouldn't it? To ask the head and the lead for early years, how are assessment processes being adjusted?
Yeah.
It would be really useful, wouldn't it? Because, I mean, I guess, you know, it's remembering that the whole point about assessment is actually to establish what it is children can know and do, so that we can help them know more and do more. And that's the whole point of assessment, really. And then seeing where they are at the end of that time, because some things take longer than others, and some children take longer than others to do things. And
a predictable line in early years, is it? And I think
don't
be alarmed as a governor if your school comes back and says, oh, well, we're not sure exactly what assessment's going to look like just yet, because I think every school that I've spoken to is still refining how are we going to work our systems with the new EYFS documents. And it might be that they try something and have to tweak it again half, you know, a term later when that hasn't quite shown what they needed it to do. So I think having that, you know, flexibility and being prepared to see some different approaches to this will be key.
That's really useful, Kate. And I guess we'll come back to this later on in the year as well, as schools start to evolve their responses. Mm-hmm. And yes, I mean, as a mum of three, my children all certainly did things at very different stages and times of their years. Leading up to going to school, and that was only three children. So I think, you know, 30 or 60 as it is in some of our big infant schools and nurseries. Huge changes there. So governors, perhaps bear with. I think, is that the message, Kate? Really?
Let's
bear with at the moment a little bit. All of these things. I think these the return to school, the reforms. These have all got implications for us as governors about questions about staff development, haven't they? And staff training. lots of schools in Durham Access training through you and your fantastic colleagues, with Elise, myself included. I love attending these sessions. They're just superb. But it's hard, isn't it, sometimes, especially for if we've just got one teacher in a reception class in a small school, it can be quite tricky, can't it? What can governors do to sort of keep this high profile in school?
Yeah, I think just, you know, asking those questions about what training staff have accessed, what training staff might need. I mean, that might be in relation to the reforms. It might be in relation to completely, you know, to other things that are part of the development plan for the school. But I think, as you say, in school, it can be quite hard as an early years teacher, in a primary school particularly, because you're sometimes out there on your own. And things are a bit different. So opportunities for teachers to network with other schools, whether that's through our early years leader networks that we run through Education Durham, or whether it's actually just informal networks that schools make with, you know, partner schools or local schools, or, you know, just having those opportunities to talk to other people about how they're doing things, and particularly with new changes coming in, that's really useful for teachers to be able to do. And lots of schools do, but lots of early years teachers do that. I think, you know, with moderation as well, you know, making those judgments around the early learning goals at the end of the year, it's really useful to think about how are those judgments being moderated within school, but also between schools. So have school got a link with anyone else that they can moderate judgments with, so that you know that your judgments that you're getting are as accurate as they possibly can be.
Kate, you threw a word in there and I'm going to come back to you. Tell governors what moderation means.
Okay, so moderation is that process of looking at your assessment judgment and ensuring that it's kind of the same as everybody else's assessment judgment, I suppose. I don't know if that's a very good definition. But to kind of just checking those judgments at the end of the year. And it's important to do that with a UIFS assessment because it can be quite subjective. You know, you have got these statements that are quite open in some places and you have to decide whether your children meet them or don't meet them. And that can be quite tricky because you can become quite skewed by the place where you work. So your idea of average, if you work in one place, might be very different to your idea of average if you work somewhere else. So having those conversations between schools is really, really useful.
Yeah, it's also, I think governors, it's always quite interesting to know for yourselves, you know, when moderation occurred, you know, how did your early years team get on? You know, were they in line with other colleagues? Was there some development needed to help them have a greater understanding? I always remember the first time my work was ever moderated, and I was 10% lower than everybody else in my county, which was then Sunderland, because I was too mean, and so I had to have some training about not being so mean. And
people are cautious, I think is the word, rather than mean. You know, you're really cautious about giving those points, aren't you, and you want your school data to be as positive as it possibly can be.
Yes, Kate, some of my former students who are governors now will be saying, no, it's not cautious. She was mean, Kate. She was mean. They're going to be shaking their head as they're listening to this. Kate, I mean, let's start pulling a few things together, because we like governors to be able to move on and enjoy the rest of their day, don't they? And if they're listening to this in the car, I'm sure they're about to park up and hopefully have a nice relax. I think it's probably just worth me mentioning Ofsted, isn't it, at this point, because that's something governors email me about quite often. Just a reminder, governors, that, you know, as Ofsted returns to more normal inspection from September, as we're expecting, early years does have its own judgment, and that's, you know, there are critical areas that an inspection will look at specifically about early years, and that's important. But early years is also integral to that other really big judgment about the school, which is about the quality of education. And going back to something we talked about right at the start, that's because the quality of education in all those different subject areas of the curriculum, they all sit on those big foundation blocks of knowledge and experience that children have in early years. And so if I give you an example close to my heart, which is primary geography, children who get a great outdoor learning experience in the early years, who are used to being outside, wellies on Wednesday, out in all weathers, gracious me, we've planted the foundations there for enthusiastic field work and children who do not wince when we go out in on a windy day to have a look at what's happening in terms of natural and physical features. So that's just a tiny example, but you know, the big one is obviously the vocabulary, the reading and the readiness to learn and learn with others. That's that key knowledge, isn't it, Kate, coming through from early years, which without that, it's like a Jenga tower with part of the bottom layer missing, and you're forever trying to kind of shoehorn some essential bits back in and underneath. So that's really important. So yeah, Ofsted have a really close eye on early years, and that reflects how important the learning at the earliest times for our little people is when they're in school. So it is part of that. Kate, let's end with some good questions governors could ask, because governors like to, our Durham governors like to collect good questions. So, I mean, I think one of the questions, governors, you'd be asking is, as always, about safeguarding. So, you know, are those expectations around safeguarding specific to the early years, are they robustly in place? Obviously, keeping children safe in education has got some really specific guidance. And we have to remember, these are our youngest children, some of whom are not yet confident or able to speak fluently. And so I think that gives us an added dimension of duty of care and to safeguard these children. So obviously, we're wanting to know about staff training in terms of child protection, in terms of those signs that we need practitioners and teachers to be alert for, in terms of children being safe. So absolutely, and as always, governors, that duty we have around safer recruitment and those areas. Now, okay, I was thinking, going back to what we were saying before, this time of year, I think as a governor, I'd be asking questions about transition.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's absolutely key in early years at this time of year, because you've got a cohort of children either moving out of your school if you're a nursery school, or into Key Stage 1 if you're an infant or primary school. So what's being done to support those children who have had, again, you know, a disrupted year in the year group that they're currently in nursery or in reception? So how are they being supported, particularly those children, like we mentioned before, who haven't achieved the good level of development, or who were not likely to achieve the good level of development? How are they being supported into Key Stage 1? Will Key Stage 1 provision have to look slightly different this year as a result? And also those children starting school. And I think, you know, these arrangements might still be up in the air, I suppose, in terms of COVID restrictions. But how are you welcoming those new children into your school for the September? You know, are they still able to do visits? Are they, is there communication being sent home to parents? How are those parents and children beginning to feel like part of your school community, so they're ready to join you in September?
Kate, that's such an important point, actually, isn't it? And I think governors, it's really useful to know how is that transition and that integration of children being planned for, and is it being planned for? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think this time last year we were still struggling, weren't we, to make some of these arrangements, but we saw some great virtual visits accommodated, yeah, didn't we? We saw some fantastic use of sort of social stories, some really good work in terms of, I saw some great online drop-in for story time, so you could get to meet the
people. It's been really lovely how innovative people have been, hasn't it, in terms of, you know, doing those online sessions, doing virtual tours. I've seen virtual tours of classrooms on Facebook and things like that. It's really nice to see how people have kind of improvised, and hopefully that will carry on, because actually, you know, as a parent, that's really helpful to have those things there virtually that you can go back to at a different time perhaps, or that you don't have to dash home from work to get to. You know, that there might be benefits to some of those online methods that we didn't know about before.
Yeah, it might be actually give us some added strength, mightn't it? Mm-hmm. And so, but I do think as governors we want to know how those children coming into the school are being inducted, and parents as well, because it's, you know, successfully welcomed parents and informed parents are so critical to a child's successful, and parents and carers so critical to a child's successful start to this really exciting time in their lives. Kate, can you remember your first day in reception?
My first day at school. I don't know if it was my first day, but I can remember. I can remember starting reception and hiding behind the, you know, the blocks of trays, the furniture with the trays where you have your little tray to put your stuff, and cutting my friend Ian's hair with some scissors. So I don't know if that was my first day or if it was a few days in, but yes.
Fantastic. Governor, you can see what I'm dealing with here. We're dealing with somebody who cut hair, but look at her now. She's flying.
I've been a hairdresser.
I can just remember thinking everything was really big and that the easels with the paint on, because Kate, I'm old enough that we had easels in my reception class, that they were huge and they were so much bigger than me. And I was given a paintbrush and a pinny, and I didn't know where the paint was. And I remember standing, I had a paintbrush and a pinny, and I have this strong memory of really not knowing where to go, and everybody else knew where to get paint. I didn't. Aww. Isn't it funny the things you remember? But yes, I mostly remember feeling really small, and that's a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking another really useful question for governors, and I'm mindful actually of a conversation an inspector had with one of our infant schools recently, and they asked about why early years wasn't mentioned in the school improvement plan. I think that's quite an interesting thing for governors to think about, isn't it? About do we see early years as a school priority, and is it reflected in the school improvement plan? I guess for the coming year we might be seeing things about reforms, staff training.
I certainly think those reforms should be part of that plan at the moment, because it's a big thing, isn't it? It's a whole new statutory framework. And it needs that whole school attention. You know, as you said before, Gabriella, it's the start of children's journey in school. It's the foundation of everything. You've got to get it right. So it should be featuring then, everybody knowing about it. It's not just the early years leads' responsibility to know what's happening with the reforms. It's the head and the deputy and subject leaders. They need to know what's happening in terms of how their subjects start off as well. So, yeah, definitely kind of seeing that in prime position, I think, is really important.
Yeah, and probably asking questions about whether we've got the right resource in place to actually drive this forward mm-hmm. as needed. And of course, you know, times are tight, budgets are tight in school, mm-hmm. so we need to know that's working really well. Mm-hmm. Kate, I think we'll draw things to a close. Conscious that governors can join you for that more detailed look on the 17th of June. Yeah. Governors, I hope you feel you've got a kind of an overview, that you've got a little bit more information to start thinking about what's happening in early years for the youngest pupils in school, or if you've only got early years, if you're a nursery governor, one of our maintained nurseries, then the children will be moving on. So I think it's knowing that what you're doing connects to what's happening next is so important, isn't it? Because I think sometimes we can just feel we're just in one place, and we forget that children are moving on. So exciting times. So Kate, we'll as usual offer governors that if they've got burning questions to drop us an email, and I know Kate and the team are always fantastic about answering governors' emails. And we'll make a point of making sure, governors, that you get an update about that reception baseline assessment. I can see Kate is scribbling as we speak, so that's I'm going to volunteer her to do that. Kate, can I thank you so much for giving up your time this afternoon?
Thank
as always, it's so lovely to talk to you about early years. Kate and I have a school that we share, that we both work with, but because of COVID, we've not yet been able to visit that reception class together, and I'm really looking forward to being able to do that soon, because I have to tell you, governors, there's nothing quite like visiting a class with one of our early years team with you in terms of expertise. Kate, I hope you have a good rest of half term. I hope to see you on the 17th of June, and if not shortly after. Governors, I'm wishing you a good second half of the summer term. I know lots of you have got full governing body meetings coming up very, very soon. I know you've been busy returning your SFDS. And this is that time of year when you start planning your governor training. It is the 7th of June, so the new governor training programme has been sent out to schools. You can get it from your chair of governors. It's got more courses available than we've ever had before for our governors, run by colleagues from all over the education service, to help you as we try and all work together to improve the education of our children all over the county. So I feel like I'm on some kind of show now. I was about to say it's good night from me and it's good night from her. So, but Kate, thanks again, and we look forward to hearing from you on the 17th of June. And governors, I will say goodbye for now. I think I'm back with our next podcast around catch-up funding in a couple of weeks' time. Bye-bye now.